Welcome, love, to the Way of Grace podcast. I'm your host, Nina, faith-based and devotional leadership mentor for women who are inspired to bring love where it hasn't gone before. Inside this space, you'll find courageous conversations on restoring your relationship with God, emboldening your faith, healing with the masculine, and resurrecting your cherished feminine essence. I'm so grateful to have your heartbeat here. Let's dive in. Hi, loves. Welcome back to the Way of Grace podcast. I'm your host, Nina, and I'm so excited to sit down today and have what I know is going to be such an illuminating and expansive and nourishing conversation with my dear sister, Claudia Phillips. And Claudia is a woman that I admire for many reasons. And I think Claudia and I have been connected for probably almost 6 months, Claudia. We've been connecting through the online realms. We've had multiple personal conversations, one-on-one, just heart-to-heart with one another. And I love Claudia's work because she really works in the relational realms of external union. Her and her husband, Jonathan, support women in really creating deeper vitality and radiance in their marriages. And she just supports women in really dropping into their feminine energy and essence and taking responsibility for themselves and the creational potency that they have in their relationships and in their marriages. And I feel, Claudia, the word I know you and Jonathan have been using is this word renaissance. And I just love that so much, supporting couples and creating this beautiful renaissance of marriage, of kingdom together, and what we get to co-create through external union, which is all carried within the covenant of being so yoked with God and really having God at the center of our unions with one another. So, Claudia, I'm just totally delighted to have you. And
thank you so much for that, Nina. Oh, that was so beautiful. That was so rich. And like, thank you for such a gorgeous introduction. And yes, like, I'm so delighted to be here with you to speak about kingdom marriage and how to create a marriage renaissance in your life, and these like union templates and these marital templates that are really coming online right now.
Yes. Oh, so much. This is such an alive conversation. And Claudia and I were sharing before how a lot of what we're going to talk about today is things that have, you know, even just recently come alive for both of us over the last few months, and what we've discovered in our own unions and through marriage and relationship with God. So we're going to travel a lot of realms in this conversation, but ultimately much of this conversation is going to be centered upon union and kingdom marriage and what that means ultimately. And Claudia, I would love for you to share, because I think we both hold this as truth, that external union is first centered with God, and really God is the foundation for union. And I would love to just hear a little bit of your own personal journey of coming back home to God and what that relationship is like for you, and how your union with God really supports your union with your husband, and yeah, how it holds that.
Yeah, I love that question. The time that I really came to, I guess when I came to God, was like when I was traveling around Europe, was right before the pandemic. So in 2019, I was with my husband. We were teaching about love, and it was interesting because we were teaching from a very sort of goddess-centric perspective. And that was my background. Like, I had trained in Tantra. I had really studied sort of like the womanly arts and pleasure and all of these things. And what I realized was a lot of the templating that I had gotten from these spaces, like there was a lot of good there. And then there was a lot of things that were sort of fragments and did not fully support me in my relationship, and was not really helping me support our clients to get the breakthroughs that they wanted to. And so, sort of out of left field, we were really struggling in our business. Like our business was pretty new at that point, and we were, we just had a handful of clients, but we were traveling because travel has always been such a big part of our lives and definitely a big part of our relationship. So we were in we were in Athens, Greece, and I think we had maybe 20 euro in the bank, and we didn't know where we were going to get our next Airbnb, and I just sort of casually, we both together casually stumbled into this ancient Greek Orthodox church. It was just, just like so beautiful. We just were sort of like wandered in there without even really thinking. And we were like, okay, we're just going to get down on our knees and pray. And I had never had a God awakening. I had never had a Christ awakening. I had never had like a really deep personal relationship with Jesus in any sort of way. I was sort of like, oh, that's Jesus is just, just another figure. And then, yeah. And then I had that presence. I had the Holy Spirit come in, fill up my heart. And it was just like this piercing my heart wide open. And it was like, wow, this is like unlike anything I've ever experienced. In all of these other modalities I had explored, from plant medicine to tantra to breath work to you name it. And so it was a real visceral, profound awakening to God as Father. So through this like random Christian or like stumbling into this Christian Orthodox church, really just out of desperation because we were out of money, and we're like, I don't know, we don't know what to do next. Like, please help us. If you're out there, please help us. And then I just remember over the next few days, I was in such a state of peace. Like I felt like Jesus, like walking with me through Athens. I was like, I don't know how this money is going to come. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm just in such a state of trust and in such a state of peace that like, I know that it will. And then I think within 24 hours, we had like multiple people reach out to us and just, immediately painful or whatever it was. It was sort of like, yeah, this incredible experience of visceral, deep union, like coming online all at once, and then having the miracle, the breakthrough that we were asking for on top of that. So it was sort of like from then on out, I just kept getting nudges. I kept getting nudges. I kept getting nudges from God, from Christ, from the Holy Spirit, around this relationship. And it's definitely been, I wouldn't say it's been like this seamless sort of, oh yes, and then I came to Jesus and everything was like
Totally.
like perfect. Like there was a lot of resistance, there was a lot of like what, there was a lot of like fighting, there was a lot of like questioning. And yet I would say where I'm at right now with God is a really like it's I've really come from, exploring these theology, like really traditional theology, like Christian or like Greek Orthodox, Christian Orthodox, Roman Catholicism, flirting even with like evangelicalism, not really knowing like where to find myself on the map. And then I landed at like grace theology, like I would say about 6 months ago. And it was like, oh, this is home. This is it. So, which is, I know you, that's like your foundation as well. So that's, I mean, that's really like where I've landed after all of this searching and all of this questioning and all of this, like, where is God on the map? Like, I don't fully know. And then finally being able to land and being like, this is home. This is truth.
Amen. Oh, Claudia, I love your story so much because, yeah, I feel my own in pieces of that. And it's really that piercing of love and grace that totally cracks us open and then makes us available for this communion with God. And God is always pursuing us in this way to come face to face, heart to heart, breath to breath, to have that full yoking through the Holy Spirit that really, to me, illuminates the truth of who God is, which is unconditional agape love. And we are just
Definitely.
immersed in His grace. And that is the way to our wholeness and to this, what I call unshakable peace. Like you were just saying, Claudia, I had such a similar experience as well. It was like for the first time in my life, externally, things weren't going perfectly, but
Right.
beneath all that, there was this foundation of peace. This was there was a certainty of trust. There was a deepening and an emboldening of faith, like knowing I'm now walking with the highest. Like he's never going to leave my hand. He'll never leave me or forsake me. He's quite literally guiding me and leading me and always wanting the best for me. And I get to lean upon that in every single moment. I just love that so much. And the theology of grace, I feel, you know, is the ultimate truth. Like when we can come
Yeah.
home to this remembrance of God's boundless, relentless grace, that is the offering for us. And it's really by way of that grace that we are resurrected in our wholeness, in the truth of who we are, in the full embodiment of who God has designed us to be, which is vessels for his love and his heart and his glory upon this earth. So yeah, so much, so much in that. I'm like, I was starting to tear up when you were saying just, yeah, being in that church and having that experience. And in that relationship, Claudia, like, as why do you feel, because I love that you came from, and we came from kind of a similar background of like the goddess energy, the, you know, mother stuff and all these other
Yeah.
beautiful textures. But what do you feel is necessary in women finding the relationship again with God, and especially with God as Father, and then how that cultivates more stability in external union, like actual now relational union with our partners, with men in our life? Like, why do you feel that's a necessary piece for, you know, what we could call kingdom union template on earth?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great question. And can I just, I might go a little bit all over the place with
Go
this,
wherever you want.
sort of like weave into some different spaces. So coming from goddess and coming from the place where I had come before, which was like, you know, woman as creatrix, woman as sort of like the, you know, the one, and you could say that like goddess, mother goddess as like the creatrix of all life and creatrix of everything. When we have that template be the foundation for our relationships, it can feel really good for a second. It can feel really good because it's like we're the ones who are ultimately in control, right? It's like I have all of this power. I have all of this ability to kind of manipulate the situation. And some of the stuff that I had been taught around goddess culture, like it really was coming from a very shadowy place around like how to like extract or how to get what you want or how to make him do something for you or how to like quote unquote train a man. And it feels really good to the ego in that moment because it can be like, oh, now I know how to control my man, right? I am ultimate sovereign of this relationship. And I think there is a truth to that. There's like a nugget that I don't want to throw out, but there is also a lot of shadow in that, in the sense that like if I'm in control, it can feel really good for a second because I'm in control, right? Like it can like feel really good to our egos. But ultimately that's exhausting. Like if we feel like we have to always be the ones in control, if we have to be always the ones manipulating or controlling or training him or whatever it is, it's like it burns us out because it's like, and I feel like the feminine heart longs more than anything else to rest.
Amen.
Like we want to rest in God. We want to rest in like what I would call like the holy other, which is not just within ourselves. It's not just within our own hearts, our own minds, our own bodies, or our own egos. You could even say like we want to be able to like rest in him. And I feel like that's such a deep, whether it's a conscious longing, or I think it's for most of it's an unconscious longing. We don't even realize that we want that until we hit up against that in some way. Just he pursues us and then we find him, right? And then it's like, oh, we can finally rest versus I'm the one who always needs to be in control. So coming from goddess to God completely shifted my relationship with the masculine, completely shifted my relationship with my husband. Well, now he's my husband, then he was my partner. It completely shifted my relationship with the covenant of marriage. It completely shifted my relationship with myself. It completely shifted my relationship with my work. So there's this whole reorientation from I'm the queen of everything, right? Like bow down to me, submit to me. Like, and I know that sounds awful, but like that's kind of where the space I was coming from.
Yeah, so same for me. You're describing this,
and
so
it feels beautiful. Like empowering, right, for a second. And
oh, totally, it's so empowering. I remember even when I first met my now husband, I was still in, yeah, what I would call that kind of elevated, exalted energy and making all this money and thinking, yeah. Oh, that's, you know, this is my magnetism is
yeah.
how well I'm doing. And I remember him not caring at all, literally at all. He was just like, do you nourish me? Do I receive radiance from you? Like, do I feel, you know, like I can land with you? It was just so hilarious how I was so caught up in all these external things that I was doing. And all he was concerned about was my beingness. And yeah, total reorientation. Yeah.
Total reorientation. Yes. And I'm actually at a place right now where I've sort of come back to goddess, but like there's like a god and goddess together. It's not exactly, you couldn't say it's necessarily biblical in like a mainstream sort of way. However, I've done quite a bit of study around this with, I don't know if you know Lisa Maria. Lisa Maria, yeah. So she's done a lot of study around like goddess in Genesis and how Yahweh had a wife. And so like have like those union templates between God and God, like God and goddess, or, you know, Yahweh and Asherah, who was his wife. Like that's actually the beginning of Genesis. So that's a totally different trajectory here. So like I'm sort of almost coming full circle with the goddess thing now. But yeah, so I went into this new templating, right? Which instead of having my ego be like the axis around which the relationship was centered, it was more like God was at the center. He was holding the whole thing together, and he was drawing me and me like closer and closer and closer to my husband as not just an accessory to me or somebody who was orbiting me, like a planet in my orbit, right? Orbiting around my needs, my desires, my wants, my ego, right?
Yes.
He was instead like shown to me as beloved, like exalted masculine king. Like these archetypes really started to drop in when God came into the equation.
Yeah.
And so I started to resonate with masculinity being an expression of the divine, which I had never experienced before. Having grown up in a home where postmodern feminism was sort of the foundation for everything, and like, yeah, like the, you know, the last thing that you should do in your life is God forbid, like need a man, or, you know, like you depend on a man. I mean, I'm sure like so many people who are listening to this are going to resonate with that, because that's so much of what we have been programmed to believe by this culture we live in. And so these archetypes of divine, you could say the divine masculine, really came online, like king, beloved, warrior, protector, provider. And so our relationships shifted from being like egocentric to being a kingdom relationship, and then ultimately a kingdom marriage. And so we got married. Gosh, I mean, I feel like we got married like 10 years ago, because we've been like, it feels like we've been so connected. We've been on this journey together for so long. And yet we officially tied the knot in 2021. So yeah, coming up on 3 years.
I love everything you just said, Claudia. It was,
this is like a little bit all over the place. But.
No, I felt it was all so visceral in my own system, because yeah, I had such a similar original orientation, you know, and yeah. Well, I had that orientation to God as Father when I was a little girl, but then, you know, we go through, as we do often, rebellious phases. And yeah, I grew up too in that postmodern feminist home where my mother was always saying either marry someone rich or become rich yourself so that you don't have to need a man. It was all of that languaging. And we don't even realize how deeply that impacts us until we get to a point in which we see how that programming has impacted us. And then we have to unpack it, because for so long, for me too, and I had a few significant relationships in my life that were beautiful. I was always with very masculine men, but I always maintained control in this posture of hyper independence and not really fully opening my heart, because I was, you know, definitely afraid of being abandoned. And that was a whole other wound. But there was this shield that I held around myself to not fully let that man in, to provide, to protect, to be that warrior for me, to really be in a deeper covenant with him. And, you know, that's only come through now my marriage with my husband. But that initial reorientation was before I even met my husband. I was in like a year-ish process of deepening relationship with God and coming back to God as Father, as beloved, as King, and reposturing myself first as his held and holy daughter, and going through that process of humility to recognize I actually do need the masculine. I do need a father. I do need higher provision and guidance and direction. And I'm not meant to carry all of this weight on my own. And I feel the deepening of that union with God really prepared me for union with my husband, to be able to now surrender to him in ways that I have never surrendered to a man before, and to actually have a true, beautiful, co-creational energy and essence coursing through our marriage, instead of being in control and, you know, not just kind of disregarding him or whatever the past dynamic has been. And this is just so big for, I think so many women are on this journey right now, like this massive reconciliation. And Claudia, I would love for you to share, just more around like kingdom marriage. Like, what is that template? What is this kind of union that we're speaking about? And what gets to be birthed essentially through this kind of covenant?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to go back to something we were talking about for just for a second, and then I'll go on to your question. I feel like, so with the postmodern feminist programming that so many of us received, I do feel like there's almost a good intention there, in the sense that it like really is trying to like make sure we don't get hurt. And even when my mother was like insisting on me signing a prenuptial, and I was like, no way, I'm not, you know, I'm not doing that, because it just feels like it's like setting my marriage up to fail. Like, so like, but I could feel the good intention there. I could feel that like there was ultimately like, and I guess this is more from sort of a non-dual perspective, like you could say like a tantric perspective, like there is like an aspect of consciousness that wants to keep us safe and wants to protect us and wants to like not hurt us. And like, if we are to surrender ourselves fully to our beloveds, then like, what if, like, what could happen? Like, that's a real visceral fear for a lot of us. And that's a real, like real initiation that I love that you said so beautifully, like requires like a humility, like a almost like a death, right, to our egoic self and our hyper independent woman and all of these things. And I really realized like how much of my hyper independence that came online was really just a protection mechanism for me to not get hurt. And it like when I could really like hold it in that light versus condemn it or be like, you know, this is a part of me that's bad or wrong or evil or shameful. No, like this is a part of me that was literally just put in place to like protect me from the like the potential devastation that could happen if we put our trust so deeply in one person. And so anyone who's going through that, like I have so much compassion for that. And like, I so understand where that's coming from. And it, there is a good intention there too, even in the sense that like, I feel, and again, this is going back to a little bit what we were talking about before we even clicked on record, is there is something about the old marital templates that are no longer relevant. If we're talking about like survival-based templates, if we're talking about like a woman really does need a man in order to survive in this world, and she gives up her own sovereignty, she gives up her own voice, she gives up her own capacity to like think and feel and speak for herself, like that feels to me like that is dead. Like that's part of a marital template that was very much alive on this planet for thousands of years, millennia, yeah, a long time. And so, you know, I feel like a lot of what feminism originally, the original intention of feminism was to break out of that.
Yeah.
And of course, feminism went way too far, and it went into, you know, man-hating and man-bashing and like, you know, all of these things that we see now that are so destructive to relationships between, to union. And yet I feel like that original intention of it was good, is like women need to also be valued. Women also need to be seen. Women also need to know that they matter.
Yeah.
And that like, they are also deserving of the good, like the glory of God as well as the man. And so there has been a lot of, let's say, like wrestling that I have done around this subject, because it is, I feel like it's in our DNA.
Absolutely.
This fear of losing myself, this fear of, and there can be a beautiful losing of oneself. Giving of oneself to another is like a beautiful thing. And there can be a shadowy aspect of that, where I don't even use the word submission so much anymore. I use the word surrender, and I use like words like obedience. These kind of words like really don't, I feel like they're very much old paradigm. And then there's like other words that have been dropping in. So for me, from that space, the kingdom marriage is less about thy will over my will. It's more about our will, or not even our will. It's more like my desire and his will. So there's this co-creational dance that is beginning to happen, versus me just being in blind submission to God or being in blind submission to my man, because that is, I feel like that's part of an archaic template that actually came from the fall. Of man is dominant over woman. She has to be she's subjugated. She's lesser than, she doesn't matter. Like this is all part of that thread of fallen humanity that we see. And so, you know, I think that you can trace the battle of the sexes all the way back to Genesis. Like you literally, really, really can. Literally. Yeah.
Literally. It all began in the garden.
It all began in the garden.
Truly. When, we just went into blame and shame and projection and guilt, like right off the bat, because that wasn't even just the fracture from God, but it was the fracture between man and woman,
man and
male
woman.
And female
exactly.
Union. And I love that you brought that entire piece in, because, and I see it so similarly, Claudia, like to me, it looks like this, you know, like the figure eight, like this devotional circuitry in which my desire inspires, you know, the will and the vision of my husband. And there's just this beautiful dance, like there's an outpouring of my love and devotion and an inpouring of his protection and, you know, provision and just these beautiful, beautiful things. It just, it just feels like this continuous dance with one another, in which no one's above or below. We're really in this true, like heart to heart, same as I feel with God, this true face to face devotional communion. And I also feel too, and I don't know if this is same for you in your marriage, Claudia, but I do feel as women, you know, we hold such a strong faith, I think more naturally than men. Like faith itself is of a very feminine essence. I just saw a reel the other day that described it so beautifully. In Hebrew, faith means deeds of the mother, which I just was like, wow, that's gorgeous. And I even recognized in my own marriage, you know, my faith and my really deep communion with God inspires my husband's will and vision and his communion with God in a wholly new way than he didn't
Yes.
have before we were in union with one another. So yeah,
Yes.
there's just like this total, it's a revitalization. It's a complete renewal. It's resurrection of what has always been the most true. It's just coming back to this design that God always had for us.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, we have to go back to the beginning to like, see what was actually going on, like even before the fall, like what was, you know, what was God's intention? What was his design? Was he really like, was woman really meant to be subjugated in all these ways? And like, no, that was not, that was never God's intention. You know, and I, in my flirtationships with Roman Catholicism and Greek Orthodoxy and evangelical Christianity, there very much is like a hijacking of marital templates in by what I might call like the tyrannical father, where it is very much like a patriarchal. And I don't even mean this. I think there's patriarchy that can be really beautiful and, you know, just means male led. So patriarchy is sort of a neutral thing. In my eyes, it's neither good nor bad, but there can be shadow expressions of it and there can be exalted expressions of it. So there's a lot of shadowy aspects of that patriarchal does that like order or like that hierarchical patriarchal structure that exists within these religious institutions, which I feel like are very much in, like still carry that coding from the fall.
Totally.
Of like what marriage should look like, or what, you know, a godly marriage should look like.
Right.
And I've just had so many clients who were Christian or are Christian or were Christian or have some Christian background who tried to do that. Like they tried to be in a quote unquote godly marriage and they tried to give themselves over and they tried to sacrifice themselves and they tried to be a good wifey and all of these things. And it was just this total distortion of what I believe was originally given as the marital template and what God truly designed marriage to be, which is this co-creative thing that like is, it's for us to create something greater than the sum of our individual parts.
Yes.
It's for us to thrive together as simultaneously sovereign individuals, but also who are like just multidimensionally interconnected, like interdependent at the deepest levels of our being.
Yes.
And that for me is like the new old, the ancient future marriage templates that are like dropping online, that are less about hierarchy, that are less about like just the external, what's the word I'm looking for, container. And it's more about this, like you said, this devotional circuitry. And this covenant and this sacrament, it's really more even than a covenant, it's a sacrament. It's like a holy sacrament that we get to be in because we choose to. It's not just because we have to, it's because we choose to.
Amen. And it's everything you said about that, I feel so much in my heart. And it's, yeah, it's this holy, ancient new way of being and remembering, because whenever I describe union, the way I always describe it is, you know, two heartbeats held in God, devoted to stewarding God's love to each other and then to all those outside of them, like having
yes.
the co-creational potency of the union impact not just those two people, but to really impact all those family, friends,
yeah.
community, creating really a legacy of love on this planet, because God is at the center. And we know when we're held and oriented to God, we're now oriented to other centered love, where it's not just about self. It's totally for the highest of all. And I feel when two parties are really connected to that, then of course we're of devotional service to each other and then to the greatest good around us. And yeah, it's just breaking. It's just so funny to even think of. I think we're just crumbling so much too about the hierarchies of everything, like exactly what you said about like the tyrannical father and these kind of very distorted templates in religion where, you know, it's been so entrained that, you know, God is way out here and distant. You have to do all the things and check off the boxes and climb up the ladder in the mountain to go get to him. And we know that Christ transcended all of that. He came down the mountain to meet us face to face, heart to heart, to bring us into this all-inclusive love, you know, not hierarchical in any way. It's quite literally a root system that you now become rooted to, and there is a cultivation of an entirely new foundation. And I feel it's just a different way of being,
and it's a different way of being. It really is. And when it's not based on separation, because separation is one of my teachers, John Crowder, who I love. He says, you know, religion, it's founded on separation.
Totally.
It's like getting our way back to God. And so you could think about that if that is brought down into the marital template, it's getting my way back to my significant other by doing all of these things, performing all of these acts, people pleasing, fawning, trying to like do all this performative stuff that we as women try and do, which will never actually get us where we want to go, because that's an illusion. Like union is the template that we are. Like there's no separation between my heart and God's heart. And so when that becomes the template from which we create our unions, there is our marital unions, there is this beautiful truth that comes online that we are, my husband and I are so united on every front. There is no separation between me or him. There is no, and yet we're, the funny thing about that is that we're distinct. We're two distinct personalities, just like God and I, we are distinct. And yet God is in me. That's the paradox, right? Like that's the duality. Like I'm always connected to God. I'm always in union with God, but I am not God. And so there's this beautiful otherness, but there's no separation.
Yeah.
And so for me, that's like been such a big piece around like really landing where I'm at right now with my husband, landing in this space of like, we are just so connected. We are so like connected at a level where we finish each other's sentences. We read each other's thoughts. There's no, you know, he senses my desires before I even speak them aloud. There's this like this level of almost psychic communication where like between us that is, it's because we're so united. There's no separation, and yet there's distinctness.
Yes. Oh, I had a lot of visuals come in when you were saying that, Claudia, because I'm like, wow, that is how I feel. I just, the language for that was so powerful, like so powerful. Yeah. That just really took me somewhere when you were speaking all of that. And I almost feel like this is what becomes is this very psychic connection, because you are so yoked and you know the truth of each other's hearts, like just like how God knows the truth of our hearts, like without even speaking, he knows everything that's alive on your heart, and he's right here within us, still a distinct individual personhood, but existing in the indwelling of love that exists within our own heart space. And the transcendence of separation is such a huge thing. I feel like this is like the biggest piece that we're in right now as a collective, and humanity is really crumbling this separation consciousness that has conditioned into striving and earning and achieving and trying harder and all of this performative mentality that you were just speaking to come back into, you know, love is my birthright. Like this is my incarnational inheritance. I've never been separate from love at all. And how that then translates into our marriages of, I don't need to try to be anyone other than who I am because this man chose me for who I am at the core level of my beingness and emanation of woman. And it and how we complement each other so beautifully. Like you've chosen someone who is like the cosmic complement of who you
cosmic
are.
Compliment. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. I love the way you put that. And it's so funny too, because there's a lot about polarity, right? There's a lot about polarity. Like a funny expression that you just just made. Like there's a lot about polarity in the field right now, right? Like I'm sure you see people talk about it every day around having polarized relationships, and that can be a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that's, you know, that's definitely something we teach as well. However, the polarity that I'm speaking of is sourced in our union with God first. Like, so there's, I would say there's like a human polarity that's built more on like hormones and like our animal bodies alone, and like that sort of lust and that primal polarity that is really based on more like longing. And there can be a beauty to longing, but there can also be a real shadow to longing.
Yeah.
Because if we're always longing, 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 we're always in separation. And so again, I think there can be a little bit of a thing with polarity that we just have to be a little bit careful of, is that we can get almost addicted to that longing and like that sort of, you know, that biochemical rush that comes through my, that courses through my body when I feel like I can't have what I desire. And that longing that we have for God and that longing that we have for our beloved is so healthy, and it is so human, and it is so beautiful. And we also want to allow ourselves to the consummation of that longing. And so I feel like polarity, when it's sourced in our connection with the divine, it's much more organic. It's much more, it's sourced in that beautiful dance of our own hearts and like the holy other versus my own frustration, my own like sexual frustration and my own sexual longing and my own like, I only want the like top alpha male because he's going to be the one to really like protect me the most. Like I feel like there's so much shadow coming into the polarity, like hijacking the polarity space, because it's not actually rooted in this connection with God first, and it's rooted in something else.
Yeah,
I just felt like I had to speak on that.
I'm so glad you did, because I think so many women, we get so caught up in the quote unquote rules of polarity. It's become, the way I've seen it become, because there's so much beauty in it, but it's also become like a dogma and a doctrine.
Like a religion unto itself. Yeah.
Yeah. That I've just seen in a lot of the women that I work with and women that I connect with, how it's actually causing more harm than good always, and more confusion than clarity. And to me, everything really just becomes so simple when you just bring it back to union with God and remembering how loved you are, and knowing your
It's so
wholeness
simple.
By way of his grace. And you get to be embodied in this beautiful expression of how he designed you to be. And naturally, as we just descend into the core truth of our beingness as women, we naturally create polarity. It's not like a thing that we have to overthink and overdo,
manufacture,
and manipulate. It's like, no, it just really comes from you being dropped in to your heart, being in like the expression and embodiment of love's design, and knowing how held you are, you know, as a daughter of God, and having that relational communion first with him, because there is such a security and safety that stabilizes when we are in that initial covenant with God, that primary inner union first, before we even think about the external union with a man.
Yeah, exactly. And polarity, if it's just about polarity, then it's separation. Like literally polarity is about separation. And it's, so polarity doesn't necessarily mean that there's love present, that there's union present. It just means that there's these two opposing friction. Yeah, these two like opposite forces, you know, dancing together. And that can be very hot and it can be very fiery and it can be very passionate, but is there love present? And one of the things that has been, yeah, concerning me about the polarity space is like how incredibly polarizing it is. And, you know, I don't feel like anything that I feel like just brings more division and more more of that polarizing consciousness to the planet is really not where we're meant to go.
Yeah.
Like one of the things that God showed me just a couple of months ago was like, it's like polarity is not quite the word. It's more like about unity and diversity.
Yes.
That was the word that came. And I was like, oh, that's what God is here to show us. It's about how to like bring these two diverse elements together and somehow create union between them. And there's a genius there. There's like, I marvel at the creation of that because I'm like, how in the world, who thought of this crazy idea of bringing these two, you know, to use like John Gray language, like Martians and Venusians together? Like who had this crazy idea of bringing these two polar opposite like beings together of men and women? And yet when we bring God into the equation, there's a perfection there. There's like, wow, this is in the design of this is so genius. It's so perfect. Nice. It's so complementary. It's so like, it really is that like, you know, the lock and the key fitting together. But if we're in a space of polarity, and if we're in a space of division, we're in a space of like friction, then it just, it's like we're at odds with each other.
Totally. Oh my gosh. I love that word unity. I was just sitting, I forget what I was in Galatians this morning. I don't know where there's a whole section, you know, live in unity. That's like
live in unity.
What yeah. Christ calls us into. But when you were speaking that, Claudia, I was just seeing this like sacred spiral, almost like DNA, just like this.
Yes.
Ooh. Right. Like conversion of the two energies just being lifted, like all from that foundation of God and knowing your true foundation. Yeah. Wow. That was just a really, yeah, beautiful expression of that, how you shared that. And I feel, yeah, these are the things that have been very confusing for women. And I hope as you're listening, there's a simplicity coming through in this and a clarity and a clarifying for your own feminine system. And Claudia, one of the other pieces that I think it connects to this, but I really love and appreciate how you speak to this is the difference between discernment and devotion and
oh yes. Yes.
And courage and our postures in that as women, when we're in those two different expressions. I've just read so much of your writing on this and it really came alive in me. And I see definitely a lot of women pouring devotion to yeah. men that they are not married to and maybe with men that they are in situationships with, and there is not full claiming,
yeah.
yoking of energy. And I think a lot of women, I mean, myself included in the past, we forget the importance of discernment first through
yes.
that process of courtship. And again, being held and anchored in your union with God so that you have clear eyes to
you see have clear eyes
and yeah. open ears to hear. And you're in that stabilized container first with Him, with the one who loves you most and who is your initial protector and who is the one that's like guiding you to the beautiful man that He has for you. But having that discernment through the process, because I think a lot of women jump right into things or jump in
yes.
quickly because, of course, women, we crave connection and we definitely can attach very easily depending yeah. upon our nature. And yeah, I would just love for you to speak more to that because I think this is a really big thing.
Definitely. I mean, God is really like the ultimate matchmaker, right? So it's sort of like when we're in that, when we have that relationship, we're already being protected. We're already in that covering, right? And so we can trust ourselves more when we're in that space. We can have clear eyes to see and ears to hear, as you beautifully said. Like we can be discerning, And we can also be open, we can be receptive. So that is a really, really hard thing to do just at the human level. Like I found to somehow being open, but at the same time, like being discerning, right? Because when we open as women, our tendency is to open completely. It's like, it's really hard for just to be like, okay, I'm just going to open a little bit. And then I'm going to wait and see. It's like, we have this, I just believe it's part of our nature. I just believe it's who we're made to be, but like we have a deep devotional nature.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's why like the word devotion has become so kind of trendy recently, because it's like, this is something that resonates with women at the deepest part of their soul. It's like in their heart, it's like, I am a devotional woman and I want to have that devotional relationship. And like, that's what matters to me most. But the thing, what happens is a lot of us sort of jump the gun on the devotion piece when we haven't really gone through that, the initiation of discernment. And discernment happens not overnight. Discernment happens, I mean, it can happen overnight if you're just like really, really intuitive and you're really like, you just know. But even with that, even if you have a deep knowing in the core of your being that like, this is your person, like I had with Jonathan when I met him, I just sort of knew. You too? Yeah.
Yeah, with
I
Will,
still,
yeah.
Like we still had to go on a journey.
Same.
Of actually letting it play out in the physical, right? Because a lot of women have that deep sense of like, oh my God. And I had one of these, one might call like a false twin flame or like a false experience. Okay, so yeah, we're so similar, Nina. I feel like
I
we've
know.
Like
the journey.
been
Yeah.
Dancing in similar spaces for a long time before we met each other. But yeah, I had one of these like false twin flame experiences where I was just sure this was my guy. I was sure he was supposed to be the one. And like, I had just opened my heart and body to him prematurely. And I had sort of poured all of my eggs into this one basket of this one man. And of course that didn't work out so well. Like, and he, like, even though when he had that sense of like that feeling, right, that inner feeling or that inner desire or that inner longing, sometimes we mistake that for that true like download or that intuitive hit.
Yes.
Of like what is actually the truth versus what we would hope
want to be the truth. Yeah.
what we want to be the truth. Yeah. And so I think a lot of us have to go through that journey sometimes of like getting our hearts, I mean, maybe we don't, but like some of us do, like,
yeah,
getting our hearts broken and being like, oh wow, this really is not the way. And I'm going to actually have more discernment this time around. And what that discernment looks like, it's very simple in like very, very simple practice of asking yourself the question over about a period of 3 to 6 months is, do his feet match my feelings? Like,
that.
Is he showing up according to how I am feeling about him? Like, do his actions merit my feeling the way I feel about him? Or am I feeling the way I feel about him because he's unavailable? And again, that polarity thing, right?
Yeah.
Separation is attractive. There's like a, there's a magnetism there, but it's not necessarily a healthy magnetism.
Yeah. And I, this piece, I love that. Do his feet match my feelings? Cause I'm always, yeah, sharing with women too, in the phases of courtship to, yeah, really
yes.
have your eyes and your ears open. And
yes.
You are opening your heart, you know, you are revealing and exposing yourself in this process too, but you're listening, you're feeling into this man, you're feeling into his integrity, you're really
yes.
listening to his word and the words
yes.
that he's saying and sharing.
Yeah.
And you're taking
yes.
that all in as information to help you with the discernment of, is this the man God wants for me? Right? Not just
yeah.
my, again, these more primal energies that might be caused because there is a lot of friction and a lot of polarized, you know, frequencies running through the field, but to have that foundation with God, to know who you are, to be held in Him, to have your values clarified before you even start dating. Like,
yes.
that is a super important thing to really know the quality of man that, I mean, and to me, you really figure that out through knowing God. It's like you get to know the high principles of the masculine through your relationship with God and reestablishing that union with the Holy Father, but having that clarified in your system. I mean, these are things I did not have clarified for a long time. And I said to things way prematurely and, you know, was in relationships that weren't going to move into marriage, but I still sacrifice, you know, because then there was the chemical bonds and connections established. So, I mean, gosh, if I had known in my early 20s what I know now, I don't even know how differently. I mean, my life is beautiful now. I met my husband. It's all glorious, but in everything, so much compassion for, you know, our little one, you know, the woman that didn't know better. Like, it's all beautiful. She has cultivated the woman that you are today, but it is just amazing to recognize, wow, how differently I would have done some things if I did have that initial union with God and had Him start first.
Exactly. I mean, it's a miracle that my husband and I honestly were able to stay together, like, somehow, like, by the grace of God. Like, it really is that, like, and then we were able to go through all of this stuff that we, you know, I mean, we came together from a pretty clear space. Like, I was in a very good space when I called him in. I wouldn't say I was in God in any conscious way, but I very much was in, like, the frequency of God. So you could say that there, but all of the pieces around masculine and feminine is sort of the order and the timing and how, like, of courtship, I didn't know anything about that. And so I was winging it. And then later we had to sort of reorient around, or, you know, God helped us reorient around, like, what is actually going on here in terms of, like, the structure and the order of a relationship. And, you know, and it all happened in as it needed to happen. And I feel like the love and the bond between us was so deep to begin with that it sort of didn't, we were so already so bonded as, like, soulmates that we were able to overcome a lot of the, like, wrong, like the silly things that we did when we first came together. And yet I have to say, like, I almost destroyed this relationship multiple times because of my own stuff, my own trauma, my own wounding, my own projection, my own just, like, craziness, like my unconsciousness, like all of these things almost destroyed the relationship. And that's why I feel like we cannot create union without the divine. Like, we cannot create divine union without the divine peace. Like, we cannot do it just from our human selves. And if we try to, it creates chaos.
Absolutely.
It's literally like a chaotic frequency of there's no order. There's no right timing. There's just, okay, I'm just going to totally open my heart to you. I'm just going to sleep with you on the first date. I'm just going to pour my heart out on devotion in devotion to you. I'm just, yeah, sure. I'm going to just fall in love with a married man. Like, no big deal. Like, really bad ideas, but, like, this is just our human, like, doing its human thing, like, trying to, like, make its way in the world. And yet, like, we have to be humble enough to, like, receive that correction, like let the distortions go, because it's really, I see so many people today, Nina, who are stuck in situationships, and they're sitting on the fence, and it is so painful.
I noticed that you were starting to talk about this, and I also see, obviously my work is oriented to women. I know yours mostly is too. And I have women in my life and in my field who, have been in these situationships, you know, maybe dating for 2 years, but not necessarily moving towards marriage. And then the woman feeling like, I want to go
here. What's going on here?
And the man being confused or uncertain. And I don't know if you want to share anything into that conversation, Claudia, of how you, guide women in those kinds of experiences, and any advice that you might have, for a woman who has found herself in a situationship, and I guess what that is and what that might look like.
Yeah, so the lens through which I teach this is really like a situationship is a relationship that is going on for more than 6 months and it's not going anywhere. It's like, because in that initial phase of like, I would say 3 to 6 months, we're in that discernment phase, we're in that courtship phase, we're in that vetting phase. And that's a beautiful thing. And we need that time. We need time, we need spaciousness to actually make sure that his feet match our feelings, right? And then it's not just me and my like human like longing that's like hijacking me, that is calling this person in and blinding me to what is actually going on. But after that initial courtship phase, if that man is not taking steps towards at the very least a committed relationship, but ideally like engagement and marriage, then like that person needs to be let go of because they're not up for the task, like they're not up for the job. And
Totally.
if we go on and on and on, that where the confusion happens is like if that man is not up to the job, and we just sit around and we hope and we wish and it may work out, I don't know, but it may not. It's a total crapshoot.
Totally.
And I've seen it work out, and I've seen situations turn into real relationships and marriages, and I've seen them just stay in this like really, really uncomfortable on the fence place for years and years and years. And the woman's like, wait, like what? Like, what am I doing here? Why am I wasting all of this time? Like in this wait, this holding pattern, this like, I'm like in the airport waiting for my plane to take off. And I'm like, I'm here for days on end and weeks on end. And I'm just hoping and wondering and waiting. And it's a really, really hard place to be. And it's a hard thing to get because a lot of the time we've invested so much in
Exactly.
this one person that it's like there's so much investment there that we don't want to just like leave.
Totally.
But at the same time, that it's not going anywhere. There's no direction. There's just, Jonathan called it purgatory. It's relationship purgatory. And it's not even hell in the sense that when we're in hell, when we're in relational hell, we will do anything to get out of that hell. Like we will like, call on all the cosmic support and the angels and God to like help us get out of that space. And like we will be easily taken out of that space. But this relational purgatory is some of the worst place to be. And this is where I see because the modern dating dynamics and relationship dynamics are so confusing and so chaotic, and it's just a throwing a bunch of spaghetti on the wall and like hoping it sticks. There's no real intentionality. There's no real like, why am I even doing this? People are just getting on the apps with like sort of aimlessly. There's the whole hookup culture that we don't even have to go into. There's just a lot of like noise going on that is creating static in the
Totally.
airwaves that's creating this chaos, this relational chaos. And it's creating these situationship dynamics that are really, really challenging. And so it really is up to us to give it like I'd say maximum 3 months and then get off the fence.
Yep. And
Like it's hard, but like yeah,
super
that
hard.
we gotta be.
Yeah. This is like, being held by the backbone of God, like really having that clarified. What are my values? What is the vision God has for me? What are my true desires? And not being afraid to express those things, but even more so, I'm like remembering with Will. I remember having, I knew those things, and then I had a curiosity with him when we were beginning support. It was through our conversations, through asking him certain questions that then illuminated, what are this man's values? What does he want? What is also his vision? And again, taking all of that in as information that I got to receive to discern, are we on the same page? A lot of women will even ask me, because I think this has backfired for some women of like knowing, you know, I'm dating for marriage. And I think it's good to be clear about that. I don't think you have to go into your first date and sit down and say, I'm dating
Yeah,
for
right.
marriage. Like
Right. No,
that's
no,
a
no.
little abrasive, but
Yeah.
you know, you're really getting to know that man. And I do think, you know, by the third date or so, if
Yeah.
he hasn't mentioned something about it or his intentions, you can ask curiously, you know, yeah,
Exactly.
what are your
Curiosity
feelings,
is such a
right?
powerful, yeah.
Yeah, what are your feelings about marriage? And be open to receive whatever he shares with you. And again, receive his
Yes.
word as his truth and really distill that through your system. Because yeah, it can get really sticky over time. And then yeah, we're in something for a year, 2 years onward. And like you said, Claudia, it's harder to leave because we've invested so much.
Yeah,
And it
exactly.
can be scary for a lot of women, but yeah, you have to really trust where God is guiding you and the truth that he's put in your heart, you know, and really letting that
Yeah.
be a compass.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that I really want to speak to this, it feels like it segues into what I want to share, like what I was really inspired to share on this podcast, this conversation is like our intention and our desire sets the tone for the masculine vision and the masculine like direction.
Yes.
So when we are clear about our desire for marriage, or when we are like, ooh, I would say even holding it loosely, we're
Yes.
not gripping it tightly and going to the first date and being like, oh my God, this guy's he's got to be the one or else, right?
Totally. Yeah.
It's like you said, we're in that space of curiosity, but we're not collapsing around our desire, like our true desire of our heart. And if a woman can hold this loosely, she can hold it as if she's holding a stone in the palm of her hand. She's not gripping it tightly. She's not, but she's at the same time, like not dropping the stone. This is really the space from which our desire can set the tone for his decision. And he will either rise and he will say, yeah, like, yes, I want this. I want you to be my wife. I want you to be my queen or like whatever, or he will not, and he will go away. And that's the dance here that we have to learn. And I th again, this really this conversation of going full circle here, this conversation of like feminine power in the context of union is so, it's so rich and it's so potent, and it's such a juicy conversation because so many of us have been like, we've had such a conflicted relationship with power.
Totally.
And we have thought of power as bad, or we have thought of power as something that is masculine, or we have thought about power as something that like it's like a power over
Right.
paradigm. Whereas we as women, we have been granted by God, like we have been granted a tremendous amount of power and sovereignty and responsibility to set the tone of the relationship, to like create the atmosphere from, like you could say, the fertile void from which the relationship is created. And that is the piece around really reclaiming that we are not just voiceless, passive doormats that don't really matter. Like we actually have a tremendous amount of power, and with power comes great responsibility too. But like we have power to set the tone with our desires. We have power to set the tone with our heart posture and our vulnerability. We have the power to set the tone with how we perceive our beloveds, how we speak life into them, or we don't. We do the opposite. We tear them down.
Right.
And
Yeah.
this is all power given to us by God. Like this is not just human egoic power. This is who we are as queens, as the beloved identity.
Yes. Yes.
Muses.
Yes, the muse. Oh, I love that we're coming full circle because this is exactly where I was holding in my heart where we would end up going is yeah, the creational potency of woman. Like really owning that and embracing that you do set the tone. And as I think a shared mentor, Jillian Pothier, says, you know, your frequency goes first, and you do have this wildly creational power. in the relationship. And I've noticed in myself with my own marriage, usually when something's off, it is because of my energy in some way, like almost 100% of the time. And it's been a humbling thing to realize that and to not, again, shame myself or make myself wrong, but to just let it be an illumination of, ooh, what is my tone? What essence am I embodying right now? Am I speaking life into my partner, or am I giving him a knife? Like, really
exactly,
honest.
Exactly. That's it. That's
Being
it.
honest and witnessing, because when I'm giving him life, he is then life giving. There is
That's
a
it.
beautiful circuitry that's happening. But if I'm sorting the knife into him, there's now closure, there's shutdown, there's disconnection. It's, you know, we really have to witness this. And I think a lot of women, maybe what would you say, Claudia, for women that are in marriages, but the marriage has maybe lost a little bit of its spark or its flavor, or the more like zing zing energy that we have in the beginning, you know, what would you share with that woman? I've had a
I
kind
mean
of
that
live in and renaissance the marriage again.
Right, a renaissance the marriage. I mean, it really is a matter of restoring respect for him. Respect is that aphrodisiac. It really is. It's like, if we can respect him, and respect has many flavors. There's acceptance, there's appreciation, there's admiration. But like, if we can just come back to like a basic foundation of like, this is a good man. There's so many reasons to respect him. There's so many reasons to, and it doesn't have to be like, oh, he made $1 million. It's like, oh my gosh, he like took out the trash yesterday. And like, for us to reorient to that place of like, he's a good man. I can trust him. I can respect him. Like, I chose well. And there's so many reasons why you did choose well. And you have to trust yourself.
Totally.
And coming back to that like foundation of why you chose him to begin with will pivot it. But it doesn't need to necessarily happen overnight. And there can be a lot of damage sometimes that needs to be undone. And that respect piece, because women, we just really want to feel safe. And when we disrespect a man, it's usually coming from a place of not feeling safe, which
Absolutely.
you so eloquently wrote about in your post. Like, when we move into that mother frequency versus the muse, it's coming from a place of not feeling safe and trying to get a need met.
Totally. Yeah. Out of, fear and self-protection.
Fear. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that energy totally, totally dims the passion and the elevation of, the beautiful circuitry that gets to happen. I love this remembrance of just remembering the creational power that you have as a woman. Like, I just feel like I can't say that enough. And it really comes from this deep tending of self. How are you tending to your own beingness? How are you resourcing yourself? How are you treating yourself and meeting yourself and tending to your own eros and life force and creative pulse, right? We so often, just blame the other for what is going wrong in us, but we have to turn back to ourselves and really see, how do I get to be more nourished? How can I resource my own radiance so that I can give more life into the relationship? Yeah. Oh, so powerful, Claudia. Claudia is there. We went through into so many realms. I love this conversation so much. You are just like a wealth of wisdom, and it's always so beautiful to connect. I receive so much from all of our conversations. I'm just so grateful to have you as a sister. And
oh, thank you, Nina.
yeah, it's such a blessing. Is there anything else alive on your heart, Claudia, that you want to speak through the space at all?
I think I'm good. I feel complete. But thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, yeah. There was just gold like throughout that whole conversation. And Claudia, I would love for this community to connect with you. So how can the women here listening connect and go deeper into your work?
Yeah, so I would say the best place to find me is on Facebook. So I have a group called The Kingdom of Lavish Love, and that is the best place probably to find out where I talk about relationships, kingdom marriage, you know, courtship, dating, all of these things. So you can just search that in the Facebook.
Amazing. And I'll put that in our show notes and link that beautiful group below. And yeah, Claudia, I just thank you so much for all of the incredible work that you do with women and
Thanks, Nina.
revitalizing their feminine essence and their marriages, and just how you walk with women through courtship and connecting to their king, really through this inner union with God first, and finding that as the foundation. And yeah, it's just amazing that you get to co-create too with your beloved husband. And I just think there is so much that you both offer, and I'm just
Oh, thank you so
grateful.
much.
Yeah, to be a woman that gets to receive from you. And yeah, then we just thank everyone who listened, and definitely don't hesitate to reach out to us with any reflections and revelations that you receive from this conversation. We truly love hearing from you, and we'll see you next time on the podcast.
All right. Bye.
Bye.